Welcome to the Nonprofit Mastermind Podcast. I'm Brooke Ritchie Babbage. I've been in the social impact game for 25 years as a social justice lawyer turned two-time nonprofit founder and leader turned growth strategist and coach for leaders around the country. I grew my nonprofit from me and an intern in a tiny closet to a high-impact seven-figure organization. And along the way, I learned so much about how to build an organization that has real impact and how to do it without burning out. In this podcast, I share the nuts and bolts of all of it so you can do that too. We dive into the mindset, strategies, and tactics of how to scale a high-impact organization and how to do it in a way that's truly sustainable. A brain trust is a powerful tool for cultivation of potential donors, engagement of existing stakeholders, and building powerful networks. In this episode, I'm going to walk through what a brain trust is, why it's a simple and powerful arrow for you to have in your cultivation quill, and the steps you can take to host one of your very own. Now, to start, what am I even talking about? Here is a succinct working definition of a brain trust. A brain trust is a facilitated gathering, usually about 90 minutes, including experts, advisors, and creative thinkers who are brought together to provide strategic guidance and advice in response to a specific and real organizational challenge or question. So let me break this down. First, a brain trust is action-oriented. It's about problem solving, not just sharing ideas. Second, brain trusts are focused on real stuff. They are responsive to a single real problem that you are actually trying to solve. Not a topic, not a general issue, a hyper-concrete and specific challenge that you're actually facing. Third, they're structured and facilitated thought spaces. They follow a specific structure and agenda flow, which I will share below. And they have a specific end goal that you're trying to reach. And finally, they bring together individuals who are either experts in their fields or generalists who are really creative problem solvers into the organization's ecosystem to give you access to a variety of perspectives you may not normally have access to. So that's what they are. Now, why should you do one of these at least once a year? Why should these be a priority as part of your work every year? There are three areas of your organization where a brain trust would be a super powerful vehicle for growth: cultivation, stewardship, and network expansion. And I'm going to address each one. First, brain trusts are highly effective cultivation tools, one of the best I've ever seen. You can identify people like potential major donors, funders that you're cultivating, potential partners, potential board members, people that you want to bring more under the fold of the organization and warm up for some kind of ask. And you can give them intimate and structured access to behind the scenes of your organization. Creating this kind of intimacy with potential supporters is actually one of the most powerful elements of effective cultivation. This sense that people are on the inside, right? They're on the team and they have a special and unique relationship with the organization. That's a form of intimacy that is actually really crucial to effectively warming people up to bring them in as supporters. And brain trusts help create that sense of connection and intimacy, sort of behind the scenes relationship with the organization. Second, they're amazing at engaging existing stakeholders in ways that are actually meaningful. What a great way to get your board members involved in fundraising, or to bring current major donors in on helping to shape the strategic direction of an organization. They bring people who already know you deeper into the fold, and they make these people feel even more like they're part of the team, right? This is a theme. Finally, they're a really powerful network building vehicle. They give you an excuse to identify and reach out to and bring together and learn from your own sort of dream team of amazing people regarding a specific pain point or challenge you're facing. They offer a concrete starting point for what hopefully is over time a deeper strategic engagement of the people who participate. And you get to decide, is your end vision for your relationship with each of the people in your brain trust, a board member, an advisor, a partner, a donor, right? What is the relationship you'd like to have with them in the future? This is a concrete strategic starting point down that path. And I'm going to talk about how to make it so, right? How to make sure that these aren't just meetings, but that they are actual triggers for the beginnings of network building relationships that you are hoping to create. So we've talked about the what and the why. Now the how. How do you actually set up a brain trust? I have an entire brain trust toolkit, including model agendas, inside the nonprofit template vault, which you can get at brookritchiebabbage.com/template vault. Here, I'm going to go through the 5 core steps involved in executing the best brain trust possible. Step 1, identify the specific question, challenge, or problem that you want help with. Successful brain trust topics are work-related questions that can be tackled within 60 to 90 minutes. The topic should be strategic or tactical in nature and should lend itself to having an actual solution or actionable steps that can be taken to address it. The topic should be related to a real and tangible aspect of the organization. And finally, the topic should be easily understandable without needing a lot of sort of background information or context about the organization or the problem itself. You are going to provide the brain trust participants with organizational background and context, but they shouldn't need to have sort of a huge amount or really in-depth understanding of some aspect of the organization in order to feel like they can help address this challenge or this problem. Topics like, what should my next hire be? Or how do I build my staff culture? Those may be too broad or too general. Alternatively, some examples of successful brain trust topics are things like, we want to expand nationally. For this national expansion, how do we develop an evaluation infrastructure that is both applicable to our individual sites and operational across all of our sites? Right? That's about something very specific, and it's really concrete. Another example, what are some of the most important indicators of financial health for an organization of our size and level of maturity to track and measure? Right? Narrow, specific. Another example, how can we better include community members on our governing board? A different kind of question, but you can see also narrow, specific, concrete, actionable. So those are some examples of the kinds of topics that you'd want to have. And these can be, you know, I gave examples about growth. They can be about financial health. They can be about your board. They can be about social media. They could be about program design, right? There's no area that's off limits, but you do want them to be tactical, strategic, tangible, and easily understandable. Second, identify your brains for your brain trust. It's really important to be thoughtful about who you're going to invite because most of the success of a brain trust depends on who is sitting at the table. Right. If you want to leverage this as a cultivation, network expansion, and stewardship vehicle, pulling together the right people is a really big part of it. The key is to be strategic and intentional. You want to identify people by considering the following. First, how many people? Right? You want the right size. A successful brain trust usually has between 6 and 8 people from diverse backgrounds. Having more than, say, 9 or 10 people can make it difficult for people to really engage with one another, have time to speak, can feel like a big group as opposed to an intimate sort of working group, which is really the feel that you're going for. So I would stick to between 6 and 8. The second question you want to ask yourself is, who are the people that would be best suited to help solve this specific problem? And that's why the first step is to actually identify the challenge, not the people. I worked with an organization that actually did quarterly brain trusts. And because there were lots of people in her ecosystem, in the executive director's ecosystem, that she sort of wanted an excuse to bring together and wanted a concrete reason to ask them to step more fully into relationship with the organization. But it didn't actually make sense. Like, all of the different people had different perspectives and different expertises, areas of expertise. So she came up with four questions that she could then sort of group people around, and she did them quarterly. So you start with a question or the challenge, and then you ask, who are the people best suited to solve the specific problem? Now, the ideal mix here is people who are going to bring multiple different perspectives to your issue or challenge. You want to combine, and I'm going to talk about this in more depth in a few minutes, you want to combine issue expertise, different kinds of institutional perspectives, different skills, and different strategic insights. So you're not looking for all nonprofit people or all foundation people or all people from the education space. You actually want a mix of people from lots of different sort of sectors and issue areas and areas of interest and area of expertise. That's part of where the energy comes from. And because you're not asking them to solve the problem, but to bring different perspectives to bear that you may not be thinking of, it's both really important for you to hear the different perspectives, but there's a sort of magic that happens when you bring people into a space and say, look, you guys are going to spend the next hour being our problem-solving experts, being our advisors, talk to each other. Really smart people, really interested people love talking to other smart, interested, and interesting people. And so if you have someone who's in the education space, who's, say, been doing education policy, and you have a person who started a hedge fund, it may seem on the surface like they have nothing in common, but they each have different perspectives on strategy and on structure and on growth and on people and on hiring. So it's really exciting both to hear their perspectives and to see and hear those perspectives bump up against one another. So the mix is really important. You also want to ask, what's the organizational objective for your engagement with each of the people that you're inviting? And this part's really important. And there's actually a tracker in the Brain Trust Toolkit inside the template vault that I give to the folks in my coaching program, because you don't want to wing this, right? You want to have a specific and concrete end goal in mind for each individual that you invite before you invite them. The Brain Trust is the top of your cultivation funnel, right? It's a way to bring people into deeper relationship with your organization if you're thinking about cultivation. It's a way to deepen an existing relationship if you're thinking about stewardship. And it's a way to form a semi-structured connection or relationship with people if you're thinking about building a leverage network. So there's a specific reason that you're inviting each person strategically in terms of the objective of the organization. And you want to understand where you want each person to wind up within the ecosystem of your organization, ideally. You want to pre-think about that and be really intentional about crafting that sort of road to where you want them to be. So are there board members, for example, whose engagement you really want to reinvigorate or deepen, right? You've been looking for a way to sort of tap into the energy that you see that they have, and there isn't necessarily a place to aim at that energy, but you don't want to lose them. This is a great way to get them involved. Are there potential institutional partners that you would like to do work with, and it would be really great for them to have a better understanding or a deeper understanding of what you guys do, right? Outside of the context of, let's meet and I'll share our background. Like, do you want them to sort of see your organization in practice, right? So a school that you may want to work with, or an organization that you'd like to have refer clients to you. When I was running my organization, one of the best brain trusts that I had involved two university administrators, because so we're based in New York, and I really wanted to partner with Columbia Law School and Fordham Law School, and I needed them to understand not just our programs, which we had been meeting and they did, but I wanted them to see sort of strategically why the model that we were using that engaged law students, like why that model and how there was sort of a pedagogical power to that model. And I could articulate that to them as someone who had gone to law school and been a student. But for them to actually be in a room, I think for that brain trust, we had two university administrators, like law school folks. I had one of our law school student volunteers, one of the leader volunteers. I had a board member, lots of sort of different people. But they actually got to see and hear, oh, wait, there's sort of a depth to this model that can actually expand the horizons and understanding of how the law works for our students. And that was something that I could have said to them, but hearing it and playing around with it a little bit themselves brought it to life. Right. So think about things like that for institutional partners. Another organizational objective, potential donors or potential funders. Right. Think about people who have an affinity for your mission and work, where having a deeper connection to your organization's work in a really hands-on way could move them closer to supporting you. Right. This is great for potential major donors who often want to have deeper intimacy with a relationship, deeper intimacy with an organization that they're giving to and a deeper relationship. This is great for funders, right? You could do a site visit. You could also invite them to a brain trust. What a great way for them to really understand and see what you're about. And so finally, as you're thinking about the identifying the brains, is step two, think about the profile of each person. And so you remember I was like, you want this sort of diversity, right? Who are the people best suited? You want a diverse group of perspectives. There's certain profiles that you want to think about. One, people who have issue area expertise. These are people that have an in-depth understanding of the specific issues that your organization works on, healthcare, management, finance, sort of whatever the issue is that you are asking them to engage, they have topical understanding. These tend to be people who are well connected in their field. They can also serve as great connectors to other people, right? Think about local journalists. Think about organizational leaders of other institutions in your field, local universities, research institutes, people who hold certain positions in other institutions. Like if you are asking about finance, think about people who are high up in finance in their own institution, nonprofit or for-profit, right? The second, think about people who have a deep knowledge and understanding of your mission. This is where existing stakeholders, board members, donors, participants can be really powerful, and they'll bring a perspective to the challenge or to solving the challenge. Think about people with specific skills who have already tackled a similar issue as the one that you're facing. So one of the best brain trusts I ever saw was a leader in one of my programs who had just a really exciting conversation about raising funds from high net worth individuals. That was the strategic challenge. She was like, I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to do it. This was not a fundraising strategy brain trust. It was literally, what does it mean given the mission and work that we do and how steeped we are in sort of grassroots community work, what does it mean and look like to raise money from high net worth individuals? What does that mean culturally? How do we do it? And there were people in that brain trust who had run similar organizations who had done that, who had bridged that gap. And so that's not an issue area of expertise, right? They didn't necessarily know much about her mission. So they weren't existing stakeholders, but they had done the thing that she was looking for them to do and could say, this is what we tried that didn't work. Don't do that, right? Or this really worked. You may want to explore that. Finally, think about industry and institutional experts. These are people who work maybe at corporations, small businesses, philanthropic institutions. These are people who can bring sort of an industry-wide or institution-specific perspective and can share those insights into your specific challenge. So that's the second step here, is who are the brains? And like I said, you want to be really intentional. How many? Who will help best solve the problem? What's your organizational objective? And what's the sort of profile mix of the people in the room? The next step is prepare and conduct your brain trust. Now, a brain trust agenda is very straightforward. I've mapped out the elements more fully in this toolkit inside the vault, but here I'm going to give you an overview of the core elements of a good brain trust. You start with a presentation of the challenge and clarifying questions. The host presents the specific real-time challenge along with any necessary context. This is also where participants have an opportunity to ask clarifying questions. So this is the first part. You do not want to take too long for this, usually 10, 15 minutes. I think it's a power move to send some context in advance, not too much, but you sort of formalize the experience by sending a pre-brain trust package with a statement of the challenge and relevant background information, not more than 1 to 3 pages. But they sort of come prepared, having steeped themselves a little bit in the context, and this can move this first part along really smoothly. Second, there's the facilitated workshopping of the challenge. And this is really the meat and potatoes of the brain trust experience. The brain trust participants spend most of their time bringing their own expertise and perspective to bear on your challenge. And they brainstorm possible strategies and solutions, questions you may not have thought about, perspectives you may not have considered, ways of attacking and addressing the challenge. And they do this while the host remains silent and takes notes about the ideas and strategies that are being identified. This is not an open discussion with the host, right? With you as the organizational leader. You are listening. You are yes-anding in your own mind. Any sort of objections, you write them down. You aren't part of this. This is just the brains going to work. After the discussion, then the host rejoins and is invited to engage with the others around ideas that have been brainstormed. So this is where the host gets to ask questions of those who came up with particular ideas. Oh, that's interesting that you think we should try this. Why? You know, or where have you seen that work? Or what are challenges that you've had with that strategy? It sounds amazing, but like, what are my blind spots there? Right? This is also where you focus on tangible next steps, right? After the trust itself. So for example, you mentioned that it would be really great for us to connect with people in this sector. Do you have those connections? Would you be willing to connect us, right? So this is the discussion is where you begin to sort of formalize your understanding of what you're taking out of the workshopped portion of the brain trust. And finally, the wrap up. You want to make sure you do 3 things at the end of your brain trust. Ask everyone to give one final concrete piece of advice, right, to sort of bottom line it for you. And then reflect back your key takeaways and next steps. Finally, thank each person individually. I know that sounds like a small sort of random thing, but it feels really good in the moment. And because so much of a brain trust is a group, actually taking a moment to say, I wanted you here for this reason. Thank you. I wanted you here for this reason. Thank you. You brought this perspective. Thank you. Right? Each person, that's a real power move again. You want to make sure that everyone walks away feeling like they gave something, that they had something to add to that conversation, and that they actually moved the proverbial ball down the field, that they were heard and that their perspectives were meaningful, right? That magic is why it's powerful as a cultivation, stewardship, and network building tool, because people feel like they've actually helped, and everybody loves feeling that way. Next, follow-up. And this is a critical step in this process. It is technically after the brain trust, but it's part of the brain trust flow. You want to make sure that you send a personal thank you card to each individual. You can handwrite it. I also really love the company Punk Post, where they get artists. You give them the message and they get artists to handwrite these sort of beautiful cards. Every time I've gotten one, it just makes my whole week. Punk Post is fantastic. You can write them, but you want it to be a card and you want it to be personalized. I walk through some additional concrete follow-up models and ideas in the toolkit, but generally speaking, you want to make sure to keep everyone from the Brain Trust engaged and updated on the progress you've made, on the concrete advice and next steps that came out of their time together. And then the last step, so that's the almost final step, is the follow-up with them. The last step to the Brain Trust is executing on your organizational objective. So remember I said that when you were identifying your brains, part of your participants, part of what you wanted to do is make sure that you had a clear organizational objective for each person. The last step in this process is, what is the next step following the Brain Trust to continue moving forward with each person? Is it to send the board invite to the potential board member? Is it to connect the existing board member to the person that they said they were really excited to talk to or that they really connected with in the Brain Trust? Make that connection so that they feel like they've gotten something out of it. Is the potential major donor really primed and ready and excited to have a next conversation with you, right? What's the specific next step coming out of the Brain Trust for each of the people that you invited? So those are the five steps in executing. We walked through the agenda. We walked through the follow-up. The last thing I'm going to say about these Brain Trusts, just to go back to what I was saying in the beginning, is they're really easy to plan, but they are extremely high leverage. Everyone that comes out of a Brain Trust, if you have chosen the right topic, right, chosen a topic that's concrete that people feel like they can actually help you do something about, and you've gotten a group of interesting people in a room, everyone comes out of a Brain Trust energized. That feeling of energy, that's where the magic lives. In cultivation, in engagement, in stewardship, in network building. Anytime you can transfer that sense of energy from your organization to a person in your ecosystem, you're going to build a deeper connection with that person. And Brain Trusts are just a great, structured, relatively easy way to do that at scale. So that's it for this week. I hope this was helpful. Definitely check out the toolkit, brookritchiebabbage.com/template vault. And I will see you back here next week for more Mastermind. Thanks so much for joining me this week. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love for you to leave a rating and a review. I read every single one and they really do matter. I also share extra tidbits and resources building on what we talk about here in my newsletter, Leadership Forward 321. You can sign up by texting the word impact to 66866. And finally, definitely check out the links and resources that I mentioned in this episode at brookritchiebabbage.com/podcast. See you next week.